We focus in this segment on much more violent clashes in the nation of Egypt. It's the worst outbreak of violence since Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak stepped down from power. 24 people dead, 200 wounded, as Coptic Christians clashed in the streets of downtown Cairo yesterday with Muslim Egyptians. Egyptian Prime Minister Essam Sharif has called for calm and said discord between Muslims and Christians is, quote, a threat to the country's security. We're going to talk about what is going on in Egypt and what this means for the fragile democratic institutions that are attempting to take root in that country. But first joining us is Yusuf Saddam, chief editor of the Coptic newspaper in Cairo. Yusuf, good morning.
Good morning.
How fearful do Coptic Christians feel in Egypt this morning after what happened overnight?
Well, quite fearful, I'm sorry to say, because that was unprecedented violence directed to the Copts by the security forces and the military troops representing the state and the regime. And this gives, sends us back to the brutal violence that took place at the wake of the revolution on the 28th of January, when Egyptians demonstrating in Tahrir Square were crushed brutally by the security apparatus related to Mubarak's regime. We didn't ever expect that this scenario would can be repeated. The troops confronted the demonstration, of angry cops with firing bullets in the air, and then when they failed to send them away, there appeared in the scene armed people out of uniform, who we still wait to see to whom are they related, and they fired at the cops. And this caused a portion of the brutal casualties. But what is extremely horrifying is that when soldiers, military soldiers, driving armored military vehicles, panicked, and I say panicked because they just rushed with their vehicles to crash the demonstrators, and whoever fell was trapped upon under the wheels of these armored vehicles. My colleagues who were in the scene of the events are really in a state of shock.
Yusuf Saddam there describing a chilling scene in Cairo yesterday. He's the chief editor of the Copt newspaper, which has readers throughout the 10% minority of Coptic Christians in Egypt. Before we go, Yusuf, at what point do you tell your readers to turn their backs on this new democratic Egypt that seems to be forming? At what point do Coptic Christians have no role in this new political process?
No, this is another story. I know that Egypt is passing through a very difficult transitional area period, and I think the challenge of the period to come is that the Copts, no matter how angry they are, no matter how brutally they have been beaten, in order to save their Egypt, should not desert the political arena. And the real challenge is to participate in the coming parliamentary elections in order to keep militant Islam at bay.
Yusuf Saddam, a heroic challenge to your readers and to the people of Egypt. Yusuf Saddam is the chief editor of the Copt newspaper. 24 people left dead, 200 wounded in clashes yesterday. David Kirkpatrick, Cairo bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times. Do you think Egypt is up to that challenge that Yusuf was talking about of maintaining participation and a peaceful process moving forward?
I do to a certain extent. I think one of the striking things we saw yesterday was some weird misinformation. The state television around 6 o'clock when the clashes began put out word that honest Muslims should come to defend the army from the Christian protesters. This was at the beginning of the clash between the military and the Christians. Some Muslims did come out and begin to attack the Christians, but other Muslims came out to defend the Christians and fight the army. And what was distinctive yesterday and different from previous sectarian episodes here was that this became really a clash over the military rule that is now in place in Egypt. This is a clash between military forces and not just cops, but also Muslims. It wasn't really a clash between Muslim civilians and Christian civilians. It was a clash against the military and, in a sense, about the military.
And what were people shouting in the street yesterday as you attempted to figure out what was going on?
Well, the predominant shout from the beginning of the march to the end was that people want to bring down the field marshal, referring to Field Marshal Tantawi, who's the top military official now running the country. By the end of the night, the chants had gotten much more complicated. There were some people chanting, "The Christians and the Muslims are one hand." And then I saw hundreds of armed men carrying clubs and in some cases knives marching along with members of security forces chanting things like "the people want to bring down the Christians" and even "Islamic, Islamic, Islamic." So it was a very complicated scene last night.
Is there the possibility that some of these sentiments will be difficult to unravel in the political process, that there reaches a point of anger and militancy and vendetta?
I was just at a meeting of many of the political parties, a press conference, and the word here was Christian and Muslim unity. The partnership between the military and the people has come to an end. So that's the sense on the street right now.
David Kirkpatrick is the Cairo bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times, talking about the story yesterday, the worst violence since Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak stepped down from power, clashes between military groups and Coptic Christians and Muslims, 24 people left dead, 200 wounded. Again, the circumstances not completely clear and are being sorted out this morning amidst calls for Christian and Muslim unity. David Kirkpatrick, thanks so much.
No problem.
We also spoke with Yusuf Saddam, who's the chief editor of the Cop newspaper, who also was calling for Christian and Muslim unity in Egypt.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.